Well, hello everybody, we'd like to welcome you to the podcast here with Matthew West and Leanna Crawford.
Yay,
good friends
guys.
Of ours who are amazing songwriters.
Yes.
And so we wanted to get together because I know so many of you guys out there who are worship leaders are trying to write songs or create a culture of worship songwriting in your church.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's amazing is that songwriting applies so much to song selection. And so some of the keys of things, even if you're not a songwriter, make sure that you tune in because so much of it applies. And I know for you, Matthew, you have written songs on all sides of the fence. You've written country songs, you've written Christian radio stuff, and then you've also written stuff for church, and you even wrote a song for the VeggieTales silly song. So yeah. You're famous at our house, probably first and foremost for that.
Yeah.
But then Leanna Crawford is a new artist, and
yes,
everybody
writer.
Around town says that you are an amazing writer. Mm. And so we wanted to get together with you guys and just talk about your process. How do you write songs? How are you coming up with those? And then how do you choose which songs go where and knowing the purpose and intents of songs?
Sure.
So maybe just give us a little bit of your background, where you came to songwriting and church and those kind of things.
Well, thanks for having us. It's good
yeah.
to see you guys, and thanks for what you guys do. And I know so many people appreciate it, and I get inspired by the opportunity to encourage anybody out there who's maybe part of the next generation. You know, I can think of the generation that went before me, mm-hmm. how they impacted my journey, like getting to see different artists or writers and how they approached their craft, and how they treated songwriting like more than a hobby, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
but like really worked at it, you know. And so I can really attribute a lot of what I've done in my career to the generations that have gone before me. And most importantly, like, I'm so passionate about music that glorifies God and tells a hurting world that there's hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think now more than ever, this genre, if you're going to call it that, of like faith-based music, or my dad always calls it Christ-centered music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that. You know, it sounds, that maybe sounds churchy, but maybe that's not just a bad
yeah.
thing.
Right.
So I get excited about the chance to encourage others, and you guys have created a platform to do that. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm a singer and songwriter, and, you know, these days I haven't been able to tour as much as, you know, same with every artist, but I'm originally from Illinois, and I wanted to be in sports, and sports, you know, athletics was my first dream, and that was a dream that did not come true for me. And by way of rejection or failure in
yeah.
that, the Lord kind of redirected my focus towards what He was really calling me to do, which is what I do now. So I started my career behind the scenes as a songwriter. I got a publishing deal in Nashville straight out of college, which was a rare, like,
yeah, that's
crazy
awesome.
Miracle how that all happened. But and then I tried to get a record deal for about 3 years and was rejected by all the different labels. And again, rejection.
Yeah.
Rejection's been a big part of my story.
Yeah.
It's a miracle that I'm married. So, but yeah, so out of that rejection, I really turned more towards, again, towards the craft of songwriting. And I say
mm-hmm.
that word a lot because I think it's important. Like, I've always been blue collar in my approach, like not just waiting for that moment of inspiration, but like scheduling time
yeah.
to write whether I feel like it or not. And so that's been a big part of my story. About 3 years into my development as a songwriter, I was starting to have songs recorded by other artists, and then I got my own record deal. And so now I sort of forged these two paths simultaneously of making my own records and also getting the chance to have people in my studio
yeah.
And be a part of their projects and help speak into their creative process. And now having the chance to maybe discover the next generation of talented artists and future role models and influencers for the church like Leanna and
yeah.
help speak
yeah.
into their careers. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
That's awesome. What was your sport?
Oh, all of them. No, I grew up in the Midwest, and so it was baseball, basketball, and football. We did not refer to the seasons as fall, summer, spring. It was football in the fall, you know what I mean? So
football
we
season.
Yeah, it was yeah. football, baseball, basketball, and I thought I was maybe, you know, I was having crazy illusions of grandeur about being a professional baseball player, and I got one letter from the Chicago White Sox, and that I was convinced that that was my future. Yeah. Well, but like half my team got the same. I found out it was like a, it was more like a general letter. Yeah. And so, so that didn't, you know, obviously didn't happen for me. I didn't even get a scholarship coming out of college. There were scouts coming to our games. I thought they were there to see me, but they were looking at our center fielder and he got drafted.
Wow.
And then he tore his ACL twice and now he's a dentist and I'm sitting here talking to you about music. So right. Just goes to show that we are not the authors of our own stories.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, that's, we know that you ride horses, but were you, did you ever have...
Leanna, we yes. We have a bond.
Yeah. The yeah.
Horse. Professional horse rider. Was that ever in your name?
That was actually, like, even sports. I grew up always singing. I was really annoying, actually, when I was little, and my siblings had to tell me to be quiet all the time. Did you do that? You're the oldest, though.
I've never right? been told that I'm annoying. Oh. But,
well, never mind. That's not what I... but horses, I grew up riding horses as well, and I thought that I wanted to go ride in the Olympics, and I didn't do that, so I'm here. But I fell in love with music at a really young age, and fell in love with leading worship at church, and then started writing songs on my guitar, and I didn't know any chords on the guitar, but I just tried to write a song, and it's just, it was always a dream of mine to do music. It was like just something that I couldn't really live without, and singing, especially, like, I fell in love with kind of just singing and just sharing, like, especially Jesus music or Christ-centered songs, like, on stage with people. Yeah. And felt like I could really worship in that way. And then in college, I actually met Matthew, and he invited me out to Nashville, and I got to start writing songs with him, which is crazy because I grew up listening to, like, all of his songs, like, more, and I just, like, so many. Yeah. And then I came out here, and I've just learned, I feel like I have so much to learn, and I thought I knew a lot about songwriting, and then I realized as I've, like, come, I have a long ways to go, but I, like, love the process so much, and I love writing. I think especially writing music like this is so special. I think there's, like, a part of me, I, like, love a lot of genres of music, but this is the genre I keep coming back to because it's the only genre that gives me hope. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like, that's why I love it so much. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing.
Cool.
So as you guys began to write, you said it's more of a discipline thing. Do you have set ideas beyond just the set times that you write? Are you writing for certain things, or are you just letting that inspiration come, or how does that flow for you guys?
Well, for me, it's different on any given day, which is, I think, something that I really thrive on and keeps me on my toes. A lot of times it depends on who I'm in the room with on a given day. So I spend a lot of time writing with other artists for their records, and that's a completely different mindset than when I turn my attention towards my own projects. And so one of the big challenges early in my career was, because my career began behind the scenes as part of somebody else's creative process, when I turned my attention to my own record, it was like, well, who am I? Like,
yeah.
What are songs that only I could record? Like, so, because, and I think there's a difference, and not every artist is going to achieve this with every song on their record, but I try to now, like, take that learning experience and process into when I'm working with younger up-and-coming artists, is going, like, there's writing a song, and then there's writing a song that is, like, definitively you, like, so that over time people can go, oh, that's Leanna Crawford, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know a DC Talk song when you heard it.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. That's DC Talk. And that's a process for every artist. And that goes deeper than just your songwriting process. It goes into you getting, like, to the core of who you are as a communicator. And, I mean, when you're really clicking is when you've discovered, like, what it is that makes you unique as a writer, as an artist, and then how to, like, deliver that in a uniquely special package that is that 3-minute song, to where people go, like, that's one of my favorite things. If somebody goes, I knew that was your song right off the bat, like, just it had a thing to it. Yeah. And so a lot of times that's a deciding factor, because it doesn't always happen. Like, sometimes I'll write a song and be like, man, I feel like that song could be recorded by Danny Gokey or Cassie, or whatever. Like, and those times those will be songs that I'll actually maybe send to that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So like Danny Gokey recorded a song called Tell Your Heart to Beat Again that I wrote. But and
that was a pretty big one.
It became a big song. And I was like, oh man, I should have kept that one. I'm kidding. But like that was an example of a song where I was like, I don't know that that's like definitively like mine. I don't know. And sure enough, it landed in the right place because Danny's a world-class singer. Yeah. It resonated more with his story and it just landed in the right place. So as a songwriter, I think that's the uniqueness of it. Every day is different. So I can look at my calendar and go, okay, on this day, I'm in this room with this person. It's almost like that baseball hat you're wearing, like almost like put on a different cap that day and my thinking is geared differently. And then when it comes to my projects, I'm always like storing up ideas. It's almost like just, you know, like putting, you know, what is the chipmunk just storing away for winter, like my cheeks start, you know, and then when winter comes,
we're
you
like,
know,
there's ready to do a project.
Right. Yeah. And so there's a lot of times where there's an idea like gathering season and then there's seeing those ideas to fruition and seeing them to completion. So I think the one makes me strong, like each one strengthens me for the other process, sharpens your skills. And really what I'm talking about is repetition because the one common denominator in all of that is I'm writing.
Yeah.
I'm with this person, I'm writing. I'm by myself, I'm writing. I'm with this person, I'm writing. And it's about getting better with every song to where it's like, you're not thinking about the tech part of it. You're not thinking about it's less cerebral and it's more like, okay, some of that's just ingrained in me because I put in my 10,000 hours. Yeah. Now I can really let the creativity flow.
That's amazing.
That's really good.
Well, I think for a lot of churches, just being able to communicate, like, what is the message of our church? Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, in a way that like people will hear it and be like, oh, that's Hillsong, or oh, that's Bethel, or that's our community church, whatever it happened to be. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So for you, Leanna, when you sit down, are you coming with just something in your head? Do you play the guitar? Do you play the kazoo?
Always the kazoo. That's her muse. That's usually what it is.
Yeah.
I've actually been challenged by Matthew on several times to not write what I think other people want to hear, but like what he was talking about, getting to the core of like, he's challenged me, how can, like, what are you trying to say? What are you actually feeling? And like, because like, there's been some songs that have come out of that actual like vulnerability. It's not like very easy for a lot of us to be vulnerable, but I think that's like where we find, especially like for churches writing music, it's like, it's not what you think, oh, the world wants to hear. It's like, okay, what does our church need to hear? What are we going through right now? And so that's been like a challenge. And what I've been working on is, okay, like what do I want to say? Like, what is actually on my core? Not what I think Christian radio will like, or what I think this will, you know, what they'll like. Like, what am I trying to say? So that's what I've been like. That's kind of how I try to approach writing and songwriting. And I think that's like helpful, like true for the church too. Yeah. It's like not, I don't even think maybe Hillsong sometimes does like, let's write for everybody. But I think it's truly coming from a place of like, what do we need to hear as a church?
Yeah. And what's cool is like with Leanna, when I first met her, she was on stage with a ukulele and I was like, huh, that's interesting. Like it just, there was something very endearing about the simplicity of that instrument matched with her voice and seeing like the uniqueness in that and then seeking to like help it grow while preserving like that snapshot in my mind. Like I still have the video of when I saw her singing at this church. Not to sound like a creep, I was videotaping and sent it to my daughters, you know, because there's been very few like female artists in our industry, fewer than I think there should be, who are positive role models for you know, kids like my daughters. And so that's why my daughters wind up going after a Taylor Swift record or whatever. Yeah. And so, you know, I think there's sometimes uniqueness in the simplicity of it. So, I mean, she can sit down and pick up a guitar. She can sit at a piano. She can play the ukulele. And it's like nothing should ever crowd out the uniqueness of her voice. And so writing songs, even with that in mind, is very important too, because I think we get so production crazy. And I'm that way. Like, I want a wall of sound and like, oh man, 3,000 tracks. And it's like, it's, you know, but the true test of a song, and we talk about this in Nashville all the time, is why do people love going to the Bluebird Cafe when they're allowed to? Why do we love that? We love it because it's like the song is stripped down to the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm. And it's still a good song.
Oh, and if it's not, you know it's not.
Yeah.
You know, if there's very little room in between. It's either, oh yeah, or not so much. And so I think for me as a songwriter, that's important. And if I get to work with someone like Leanna, I want to preserve that too, you know? But I always have that picture in my brain of her with the ukulele and like, okay, why was that so endearing? Like, what was it about that? And how can we write songs that continue to like preserve that while still graduating to the next levels of...
Do you have one that you want to sing?
Yeah.
So which one would you want to do?
Uncool.
Oh yeah. What key is that in?
Is that E?
E.
We do an E.
Yeah.
Go for it. Verse and chorus?
Yeah.
So this is called Uncool.
Uncool.
And so you wrote this together?
We did. Right here.
We did. Right. We did right here.
Right here?
Yeah, we wrote it right in here. We started
with our buddy AJ Proust, who produces her record. He produces my record. Yeah. He's like 25 and insanely talented. So ready?
Why can't I think of the first word to this song?
Cover up your lies.
That's like good. He's a professional.
Rule number one. Remember the words. So you picked the song that you don't know the words to.
I just, man.
Worship leaders all over the place know exactly how you feel. Come on, everybody, let's lift up the name of
what's his name?
Jesus?
You sing it out. Sing it out.
Oh, I've done that a few times. Cover up your light. Cause what will people think? If you speak it true, they'll just label you another Jesus freak.
DC Talk reference.
Come on. Yeah, these are the voices that used to keep me silent. But that's no way to live. So my decision is I'm done with all the hiding. If it's uncool to see that I love Jesus. Cool to sing about my freedom. Then I'm cool. Being uncool.
That's not enough.
If it's uncool to tell the world to save me, I don't care if they call me crazy. Cause I'm cool. Being uncool.
Something like that.
That's awesome.
I went for it. I'm a sucker for like a hook in between the hook.
Yeah.
But that idea of cool being uncool was like, you know, again, like finding Leanna's unique voice and like, okay, do you really feel like you're called to be unashamed as a follower of Christ? And do you want that to be something that comes through in your music? And if the answer is yes, then let's write a big old anthem that, you know, the youth conference, you know, that's not a song that's going to be led on Sunday morning.
Right.
That's a song that's going to be sung on Friday night.
Yeah.
Right. It's in music has all different types of
purposes
and places it can get plugged in. Like, you know, talking with you about our music, like, you know, you're rarely going to hear songs of mine that are necessarily like, I don't tend to lean towards the how great is our God worship songs.
Right.
I grew up with them. I lead them. But I don't lean into that as a writer. And yet, you know, when there's a sermon series, like when a pastor takes one of my songs and builds a 4-week sermon series out of it, and then that song comes in after the sermon, that's where you'll hear my music more. And I love that. I love it when a pastor says, hey man, we did, you know, I've got a song called Truth Be Told out right now. It's like, hey, we're doing a whole series called Truth Be Told and unpacking that from a devotional standpoint. It's like, that's a totally different place where a song gets plugged in. Or a youth pastor could take Uncool and be like, this is our youth group's mission this year.
Yeah.
You know, and like that fires us up. Yeah. Going like,
opening song.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody. That's it. But then you think about like some kid out there owning that, like, I am. if me loving Jesus makes me not in the cool group, then I'm cool with that. Yeah. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. That fires me up. And it fires me up that my daughters would hear that and go, okay, Leanna says it's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah.
That new song, can you give us the verse and chorus? The one that you just put out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Truth be told.
Yeah. I'll try to make it sound better than that. This song, this is like kind of my autobiography, like growing up in church. But so it really talks about like how I've gotten really good at being good. But and like the ability as a Christian entertainer, like how there's such a potential for contradiction in that. Like even when I talk about it, I'm just like,
how is
am I doing that right now? Like I think a lot of us, if we're being honest, we wonder,
yeah,
how often are we actually honest? Like, yeah, how often are we actually being the most authentic version of ourselves? And the longer you're a Christian or the longer you're in church, ironically, it should get easier to be that way and feel safer to be that way. And instead, mm-hmm, it feels like it heads in the opposite direction. Yeah. So this is about like my journey of going, man, I'm 43. And how often am I like pretending versus like really living out my faith? Like,
yeah,
that's where I'm at right now. Yeah. So just being honest, I hope that doesn't disappoint people, you know, because people, sometimes when I talk about that, I'm like, people be like, man, come on, step it up or whatever. But even that is the voice that keeps you from being authentic, you know? So I put it in a song. This is one that I felt like, this is mine. Like, I gotta sing this. Like, I'm not giving this to somebody, you know what I mean? But lot number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them, never better. Lot number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. Well, truth be told, the truth is rarely told. I say I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, hey, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken, and when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not, and you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall, there's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told.
So good.
Thank you.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Thank you.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, and it's so true. Everyone's like, I'm fine. We're doing good.
Yeah, especially right now.
Hey, we're great.
Everybody's fine. We're all fine.
I feel like people are maybe getting to a point in 2020 when where it's almost impossible to pretend anymore. Like, it's like, I've read more people, when you say, how you doing? Usually it's like, oh, I'm good. How are you? It's like, more people, including myself, say I'm hanging in there, which is like, that is not a very encouraging thought. But a lot of times that's what the Christian life is. It's hanging on for dear life. It's hanging in. It's you know, when Paul was at the end of his life, he didn't say, I have won the race. He said, I have run the race. He didn't say, I won the fight. He said, I have fought the good fight. So there's something very human in that, in his last, some of his final words that bring me comfort sometimes, where it's like, you know, sometimes I am just hanging in there, but I know who's hanging on to me. You know what I mean? So it's a good reminder.
Yeah.
It's good. So you get together and you decide you're going to write. How does that process work? Because I know for a lot of people, they're going to be like, okay, I've never co-written before.
Yeah. What do I do?
I'm going to jump into this room. And most people are expecting that we're going to do whatever song that we write on Sunday.
Because it's going to be done like that. It's going to be awesome the first time.
Right, right. Yeah.
What advice could you give people who are beginning or just how creative ways to write together?
You want to go first or you want me to?
I mean, you have a few more years on me. No, that's a good thing.
Well, I do think it's funny you say like, we're going to write this and perform it on Sunday. Like my first songs were written by, I would tell my dad, who's a pastor, I'd say, okay, give me your sermon notes for Sunday and schedule me to sing a song after your message. And so, and I don't know what made me do that, but like,
that's bold.
Early on, I would give, that would be my like self, I thrive on assignments sometimes. Yeah. And so,
wow.
And so, and sometimes it'd be a very short song on Sunday. Like, I mean, I'd be like, there ain't no bridge here, or second verse, I'm like, second verse, same as the first, or whatever. Like, but the point was, I got up and did it. And also had an audience in front of me that, like, to them, I could do no wrong. Yeah, right. So, but there was something about that, like, pressure. So I would say maybe it's not even a bad thing if you trick your mind into thinking we're performing this on Sunday. It doesn't mean you should.
Right.
And I, you know, one of the things I always will challenge Leanna with is like, do the work in your own time so that you're ready when you get into the room with other people, right? So it's like anything. Like if you're gonna go jogging with a group of people, but you show up completely out of shape, then you're gonna slow the group down.
Yeah.
You know. And so I think it's really important to not just wait for, well, I'll just, you know. And I think a lot of times collaboration can be a crutch where you're like, well, I could write the song by myself, but I'm just gonna take. I'll just bring in this little piece and we'll finish that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a balance of like doing work on your own, getting in shape on your own, and then bringing ideas in. Don't expect everybody else to be kind of carrying the weight. So when you're collaborating, I just think it's really important. The more you write by yourself, the stronger you will be for others when you get into the room. Yeah. So I think that's a big part of it as well. And then beyond that, it's like, I would say, you're not always going to hit it out of the park. You know, you're not always going to, like, my A&R guy jokes with me, like, he says it in a sarcastically complimentary way. He's like, do you ever write a bad song? And I'm like, dude, yep, they're all in that drawer over there. And I make sure you don't hear them. So it's just, there's going to be days. I mean, we've had days where we've written and it's like, we've danced around some ideas and maybe have something that, you know, just didn't feel awesome. And that's the other part too, is like, I think your gauge should get stronger over time where you're like, this one's not worth finishing. Like, you don't have to finish a song if you know it's just not strong. Like, know the difference, cut bait, move on, cast a new line, you know? So, so I don't know. Those are just a few things off the top of my head that hit me as far as how I approach co-writing.
Yeah, I think that's so good. I mean, ditto what he said too. I think it's, being honest as well, like when you come into it, right? But honestly, I think all what you said is so good.
So how do you, like when you're on your own, like what do you do to like get yourself in the like right frame of mind? Or
are you guys like lyric people or do you start with lyrics? Do you start with music?
I'm more of a melody person, but I think...
Like, this is a book I gave you.
Yeah, it's a great book.
This is like...
Matt Maher told us about
it. Oh, yeah, it's such a great book.
So this is like we have to be, again, it's like blue collar. Like, I think there's just sometimes where, I mean, even a bodybuilder still has to get down and just do a push-up sometimes, right? So I think there's something about like just getting reacquainted with your thoughts, clearing some space for that too, really.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, like lately it's been, I've been in the habit of like, I'll go for my walk and I'll do like a 5 mile run or walk, but I'll like listen to these podcasts all the time and I'm pouring information into my brain but then not giving myself that time to like receive anything, you know? So, it's kind of, but when I'm like, when I go for a hike and I don't have anything in my ears are open to like whatever parts of my life need to be unlocked. So that I can go check that room out again, revisit some things, and then find some new colors for the next songwriting appointment. So I think that's a big part of it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, a lot of the time, it's like when I'm in the Word and like disciplined to do that every morning. I think like, especially doing Christian music, like I don't, like, it's not that I'm perfect and then I do it every day. Yeah. But like when I'm in the Word every morning and like that's my focus and like that's the purpose of what I'm doing is really... that, because that's really what I want my song. I want them to be honest, but I want them to be so like on that, if that makes sense. And so when I'm in the Word and like in being disciplined and learning and I don't know, I feel like I get inspiration from listening to other people's songs as well. Like, I feel like that is something that, that's something that you've taught me too. But definitely like being in the Word every morning. I think especially that's important for worship music.
Yeah, cool. For sure.
Do songs come to you as lyrics first? A big idea? Do you start with chords? How does that?
Everyone's different, I think, yeah. That, but
do you find it works one way or another?
I feel like it's both for me, but I feel like I'm a little more like, I sit at the piano and I'll kind of have like a melody thing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it starts for me most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's all about like the idea. Like, yeah. I think I've rarely written music first. Because I find that like, if the idea doesn't grab me, if I can't see how the lyric is going to surprise or resolve or go to new, like dig into some new ground, then I'm not really excited about it. But then once I've got the idea or the title, then the music has got to be like, then I like,
on point.
Yeah. So I've never, it's never been like, oh, the music doesn't matter. Like the music is everything. And, you know, but in Christian music and in worship music too, you got to have the like, the concept, the story, the idea, the heart. Like, I think there's a lot of pop music that's just feel good music that don't even know what it's saying, which is how sneaky it is too. Cause like, it's like this morning on the way to school, my daughter had this song on. She was just like flipping through a video and I'm like, you know what that song says, right? She's like, no, doesn't even realize how inappropriate that particular, and she wasn't listening to that song. It just, somebody had it as their background on a video they posted. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? And so I think, you know, but I tend to go like, I'll have a title or I'll have a big idea that'll then, and then I'll quickly make sure, want to make sure that the music marries well with that idea, you know. Lately too, though, I mean, a lot of music is written right now with like these guys and girls who are just gifted composers and track people. And so, you know, like I've had this AJ Pruse, who's one of my songwriters, who he'll just create a body of music like that evokes an emotion in me. Mm-hmm. So like a song of mine called Broken Things, he sent me this like piece of music and it was like, oh, whoa. And I was like, man, that's like cool. Like, I don't know what that is, but, and then I had the idea that went along with that. So those would be the few examples where music leads the way. Yeah. If I hear a piece of music that's like, whoa. We've done that with your music a lot.
Yeah.
Like where AJ will have just like this vibe.
Yeah.
And we're like, man, that's cool. What is that? Yeah. And then it's like our job to find the idea that goes well with his track.
Interesting as we've gotten into songwriting to realize there's so many pieces, and like people who wouldn't say, well, I'm a songwriter, I just make beats or tracks or whatever, like they don't feel like they can be a part of the process, but then come to find out
it's a big, can be a big part,
huge part.
It's really inspiring, and one inspires the other, and then it becomes collaborative. So I was going to ask, for a lot of worship leaders, you know, you hear stuff on the radio, maybe your stuff on like, and well, you're on the radio too. I saw you the other day, just charting on the radio. Just knowing where to put the song in their service, you know, like, is this a corporate worship
song? Because like you said, not all of them are like in a worship set. So like,
Where is this? Like, this is the special music. This is for corporate worship. This is to listen while you're running during the week. Do you have a sense of that when you're writing or when you're pushing, or how would you give people advice to maybe discern those moments?
Well, I'd say chapter one of that, that's my dog, by the way, but chapter one of that would be, you have to know the music world. Like you have to listen and study and approach it. Like, you know, if you're a chef, you study other chefs and the music that they're creating, the food they're creating. I'm mixing analogies, but like, I feel like the idea is like, you'll never be able to discern where a certain song should go if you don't spend any time understanding and educating yourself on the genre of whatever you're attempting to create. And so a lot of times it's just the knowledge and the research and the study and the consumption of music. Like, our friend AJ, who I talk about, like, you could just list a song title and he could probably sing you the hook. Like, he's just, and that's the way I've always been, is like, I just consume so much music. And so that right there is going to help you understand in it. And then it should just become like really obvious, right? Yeah. So the song we sang in the beginning of our time, Uncool, you just look at that title and go, that's probably not going to be in the worship set.
Yeah.
It's just not, you know? But if the title says, Lord, I need you or something, you're like, that sounds like, I'm guessing that's going to be. So sometimes just from the very title, truth be told, even, it's like, that feels a little more narrative. It feels a little more story driven, a little more John Mayer taking you somewhere kind of thing versus congregational leading you somewhere. So I really feel like a lot of that comes with, you know, if you never listen to worship music, then you're not going to know if your song fits in that. If you never listen to the radio or Christian radio, but you want to write a song for it, so many, and it's amazing how many people be like, I think this song's a hit. I think this song, I'm like, you're clearly not listening to the genre. And like, I'll challenge Leanna with that too. It's like, hey, like, you got to listen to, you got to know why this doesn't work or why this works better over here, right? And I've got to do that too. Like, I can never stop listening. And that's probably, I feel like that's probably the main.
Just making yourself a student.
Yeah.
A student of it.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good advice.
So I know some people who write secular music and they also write Christian music. I'm curious just how you've navigated that world, having written some country songs, or do you feel called to expressing the gospel through that? And some are just love songs.
Yeah, I haven't navigated that very well, to be honest. I think, you know, I've written a lot of country songs, but like not a bunch that I'm proud of. Like, and honestly, like, I feel like over the years I would feel drawn to the country rooms, but maybe for the wrong motivation, you know, because it's like, ooh, man, I want to, you know, because I think sometimes my ambition has been, I want to be the greatest songwriter in Nashville. Like, and that's a lot different than I want to honor the Lord, but I'm just being honest. There's been times where my motivation has been kind of off in a ditch somewhere. And then out of that, you can wind up writing songs that really maybe don't even line up with your beliefs.
Yeah.
And so I've always wrestled with that. Like, personally, like, I know a lot of people who are amazing country songwriters who are also like strong Christians. And the songs are a lot of times just kind of about topics that maybe I don't necessarily feel comfortable endorsing from a lifestyle standpoint. So I don't know. I think that's just one of those things where I'm like, recently I was with a country group, Maddie and Tay, but they had called to write with us about, because they were making a Christmas album. And it was like, so I started to feel like, hey, maybe my role in country music is when someone, because, you know, they always joke in like country industry, it's like a Jesus song, you know, drinking song, you know, and maybe it's like
the song, cheating song,
this, a funeral song, whatever. And so maybe I get called for the Jesus song, and that will be where I love all kinds of music. And like we were talking about, there's feel good songs too. Like, I had a song on the radio that was just all about summertime. And all I know is I've never had one person say, man, that top 10, that hit you had, that country song about summer, man, the Lord really spoke to me.
It changed
my life. It's like, no, it spoke to my bank account and my kids can go to college. But like, it didn't, like, I think the short answer is, these days, more than ever, I want to chase something that has an eternal value to it.
Yeah.
And I'd say sometimes when I'm writing those other kinds of songs, like, the eternal value that I feel coming from it is maybe my interaction with another songwriter that day, or how I carry myself in that room. But it's less about the outcome of that song in a listener's life. But in Christian music, or music for the church, or songs that you're going to write for your church or worship service, like, there's like this great big door that opens up towards like getting to taste and see what it's like when you're a part of something that has an eternality to it. And yeah. it's like that, when you get a taste of that, when someone's like, hey, I want you to know, like, I want, you know, my wife and I are getting divorced and I heard this song and it's about forgiveness and God just like convicted me and we don't know if it's going to work, but we're in counseling. It's like,
that's awesome.
Change, like things that can like really change course.
Eternal course.
Oh man, like that, when you get that, now that wakes me up in the morning. Yeah. That gets me excited to take my guitar and go, let's do that again.
Yeah.
Let's do that again.
Wow. So Leanna, is it intimidating working with this guy?
Probably just because I talk so much.
No, we have a good time. They tease me. I was homeschooled, so they have a lot of good homeschool jokes that him and AJ love to bring up. So
and
good.
She was born on a farm, there's a lot of material to work with.
Yeah. My next album might be Farm to Table.
Farm to Table.
At some point.
Farm to Table.
It definitely is something that I'm still like, I still have so much to learn, and I think it's to learn from him and AJ, who we've talked about a lot. Like, yeah. I really feel like I'm in class, like I'm going to school every time, and that's like just to be a student, and I continually want to have that attitude as a songwriter and as I just continue to learn. So
and you're leading, she's leading worship at a church quite a bit too, so I think that experience has got to be educating you from a communication standpoint. You're probably one of the few musicians actually working.
Doing something. And I'm very thankful to have something.
Well, you have a big song on the radio. I was wondering if maybe you guys could do verse and chorus, because it's such a, the chorus is such a great moment of hope. And
what key is that in?
So in F. This song was we wrote it before 2020, before COVID. It was actually inspired by a woman named Joyce and her story. She's from Florida. And Matthew told me this story, shared it as we came in the right, and he was like, this is just like, it blew me away. She had walked with her husband through his battle with cancer, and during that whole journey, she would post, every time she posted a Bible verse that was encouraging her, she would use the hashtag truth to stand on, because she wanted to encourage others in the darkest season of her life, which just like blew me away. And she continues to do that since he went home to be with Jesus. She continues to encourage people and use like her story to bring encouragement to others and to remind them that like their hope is found in Jesus. And at the time, I like had never really dealt with anxiety before. I don't think you knew this at the time, but I was dealing with some of that, and I wasn't really sleeping, and I'm like a great sleeper, and I wasn't sleeping. And so her story ended up really encouraging me as we wrote, which was just so cool. So this is the song, this is our song, Truth I'm Standing On.
Awesome.
Scared. Oh, I thought I knew. Scared. But I'm so filled with fear. I can barely move. Doubt. I've had my share of doubt, but never more than right now. I'm wondering, where are you? Here on the edge of falling apart. Somehow your promises find my troubled heart. And this is the truth I'm standing on. Even when all my strength is gone, you are faithful forever. And I know you'll never let me fall.
Wow. Thank you.
such a psalmist. Like, I just hear in all the psalms that I'm just feeling.
Yeah.
Man, it's so bad. It's, things are terrible, but one of the most important words in the Bible.
Yeah, the firm foundation that we had, you know. I love, it's one of my favorite things about music is how, you know, the Bible's described as being alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And I feel like when we draw our inspiration for our songs from God's word, those songs can wind up feeling alive and active in terms of like they take on a new meaning over time. Like you write a song like that pre-COVID and then COVID happens and everybody's firm foundations that they thought were firm,
unshakable,
crumbling under our feet. And you start to go, okay, wait a minute. Like maybe there really is something to this that, that God's promises are the only promises that will come through and follow through and deliver and not fail us 100% of the time. So, but I love that song. Like that, when we wrote that, I was like, that feels special, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's cool. It's fun to see radio stations. Like it's hard to get people to take a chance on a new singer. They're just like, they just keep playing my song.
You're like, please.
No, but it's just cool to see like little by little, like stations start to play it. And in Christian radio, a lot of it's driven by testing, which seems very mathematical and not like heart driven, but the testing is driven by the listener going, I want to hear that more or I want to hear that less. And it really does give them, it's a sample size, which is unfortunate, but like, it's cool to see that like her song testing.
It means that it's connecting.
It means it's connecting regardless of like whether she's already a well-known singer or not. The song is connecting.
Yeah.
Back to what we talked about, like, can it stand on its own? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times artists will get a song added to the radio because of who they are and the track record they have. So you might get a benefit of the doubt ad versus a, this song stands on its own merits, you know? So just getting out of the gate is the biggest challenge, but it's been fun to see stations picking up on that song going, we don't care who this girl is. We don't care if she can't spell her own name because she's homeschooled. We don't care if she's out. You know, we don't care if she's riding horses somewhere. We're just going to play this song.
I was homeschooled and raised on a farm too, so, you know.
So, I'm joking. I kid. She can spell her name. You can, right?
Sometimes.
Oh, my goodness.
As long as it's right on the check, that's all that matters. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for coming and being with us.
Thank you.